The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, it really helps. Enjoy the show.
Oh, question. I'm struggling with time management. I'm out of cleaning. Good. Because that's typically the harder part to get out of. Once we get you out of working in your business, working on it, much easier solution, I promise. But still working hours of the day, responding to clients and my manager. Perfect. So I'll give you a couple easy, quick ones, and then I'll give you a little more in-depth answer if you're like, no, I really got some problems. So first and foremost, at your revenue month, if I remember right, you're 10, 20 grand. We don't need a manager. So I don't know what she's getting paid, but, or he or whoever it is, but we probably don't need them. That said, the quickest and easiest way is to set boundaries for clients and employees. So I think we go over in module 1 or 2, filling out your time tracking sheet. So you can use the one we provide or anyone that you want. But if you really want me to dive in with you, fill out your time for a week, submit it as a help ticket. And then I can, we will specifically go over here's exactly how to get rid of exactly every task. Most of our higher level clients are working like 0 to 7 hours a week. And they've got much larger companies. So I promise you, it's not just possible. It's actually common in the higher level. So that is absolutely, we just got to get you over your head. Like, I can't believe it or not, when you're in the 9-week program, it's more your beliefs and your fears. Like, hey, it doesn't make sense. I can't make more money and do no work. It doesn't compute, because that's not how the world typically works. So it takes a little bit for us. That's why we have mindset coaches, to get over the emotional part of like, wait, this doesn't work. So on the tactical side, if you really want to dive in, the in-depth answer is fill out a timesheet for a week of everything you do by half hour, send it to me, and then I'll either buy a help ticket or next week's call. We will go over piece by piece and we'll get everything off your plate other than the crucial 0 to 10 hours a week that we really want you working on your business. That said, a quick, I don't say band-aid, but the easiest, lowest hanging fruit, once you're out of cleaning, and I just got to know where you're at. Are you doing any babysitting of your employees? Oh, I forgot. Right. I got to clean rags. I got to bring you supplies. You forgot a key. Are you doing any of that crap or no?
No, that's what my manager does.
Okay. She should not be doing that. And the cleaners need to be doing that themselves.
Okay.
So we do not pay managers to do the cleaners' jobs. Either the manager gets paid and they do the cleaning, or the cleaners get paid and they do their job. But for cleaners, it's like, hey guys, you got one job. You got to get the supplies required to clean the place to the place, and then you have to clean the place. If you can't do one of those things, you are not qualified for this job. Like, I'm not going to have a manager do that. If you're not able, just let me know. We'll find somebody else. So you do not pay a manager to do the cleaner's job and then pay a cleaner to do the cleaner's job. You can't make any money. So the cleaners, their job is to have the keys, the supplies, everything they need, and do their job. And if they're like, I can't do that, I need someone to hold my hand and wipe my bottom and bring me the keys and pat me on the head and do the... No problem. Best of luck. We're going to find you a different job. It just ain't going to be here, because this is for big boys and big girls who can actually do what they're supposed to do. So we want to definitely set the standard for your cleaners now of, we either pay the manager to do your job or we pay you to do your job. Which would you like it to be? But I shall not pay the manager to do your job while I pay you to do your job. One will get paid, not both. That said, so typically it's cleaning first, then that administrative bullcrap of rags and babysitting the cleaners, which again is a culture core values issue, not a, I just need to pay someone else to do. We're just, you know, we've got a company this big and we're already paying people, two people to do one job. Okay. So when you're out of that, the next thing is typically scheduling. So the first hire you want after a cleaner is going to be a scheduler. And that can be literally someone that can be in your city or not in your city, a couple $100 a month, you know, as well as I do. Scheduling usually takes 0 to 23 minutes a day. Like, it's just not a big time commitment, but it's a pain in the butt. So you want to hire a scheduler that can just schedule, pay them a flat rate. The way you do that is you just hire them. You get on Zoom just like we're doing, because I don't even have to physically be there. Show them all the headaches and problems that you do and let them watch you solve it for a couple of days. And then you get on Zoom and you let them handle it for a couple of days. And then you don't handle it all and say, call me if you run into problems. And then you say, stop calling me at all. So that's the progression. And the cool thing is, just like we record these, you record those trainings. So the next scheduler, you would say, watch these trainings first, and then you can be on. And instead of having to do like 5 or 6 or 8 trainings, you can do 1 or 2, because they've already watched the videos. So first thing, stop wiping your employees' bottoms or paying someone to do that. Second thing is to get out of scheduling. Third thing is to set standards with your employees and clients as to when they have access to you. So you guys get lots of value from us, but you don't call me and text me 24/7. And if you did, I would ignore you. And you wouldn't be like, damn it, Mike, I can't have you. You'd be like, oh, that's fine. Right. And same with my employees. I'm on Slack and Apple or Lindsay or Jared or whoever can Slack me. And if I respond, I do. And if not, they're adult men and women and they just go about doing their job. Like they're fine. So what we teach, I think in module one or two is training wheels is twice a day. When I come in at 7:30 or 8 or 9 or whenever works for you, I'm going to respond to all my texts, emails. God forbid they have your phone number, but whatever, direct messages, Slack, however anyone can, employees or customers can access you. You're going to respond to them kind of in the morning when you start. And then if you have to, once, it, you know, kind of mid to end day before you leave. So no one's more than like 4 or 5 hours away from an emergency. The good news is you'll find most of the time they just want you to be their emotional support animal. So they just want you to put on your superwoman cape and solve the problem for them. But if Ellen's got a problem and it's big and she's got to get it solved and she's all emotionally attached, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, leave a message and I'll call you back at 8 in the morning. And it's 2 o'clock. She's going to be like, oh, I can't wait. And guess what? She'll solve it on her own. And she won't even leave me a message. She'll start growing up and going, ah, forget it. He's just going to make me go, blah, 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 blah. So the beautiful thing is once you start setting these boundaries, 80% of the problems just take care of themselves. And say she doesn't. Say Ellen's terrible and drops the ball and screws something up. Well, then I fire her for not doing her job. I don't go, I should have been there to do your job for you. I go, I'm paying you to do your job. And if you can't do it, I got to get someone else to do our job. So you see how it's a lot of, right now, the accountability is on Heather to hold everyone's hand and make sure everything works. And you're like, no. Yeah. I pay you guys to do the job. That's my thing is I make sure payroll clears. Your job is to do the thing that you're getting paid to do. So generally that's the steps. Get out of cleaning, check. Get out of cleaning support, rags, blah, 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 check. You're still paying someone. We got to get out of that, but that won't save you time. It'll just save you money. Next would be get out of scheduling. Next would be to limit access to you. And then if that doesn't get you upright, again, track your time for a week, send me the thing and we'll go over it and I'll give you specifics on here's exactly how to stop doing this chunk of things. Or here's the very small chunk of 3 or 4 hours a week you should be doing. Questions, comments, and remarks? Yes.
Yes. Should the cleaners have the client's contact information?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Because, I haven't done that yet, but I've considered it because a lot of what I do is I'm the middleman. The key wasn't left where you said it was. The garage code thing is dead or whatever. It's like they're out of house and they can't get in. And
yeah, they need. So
we're losing time.
So what do you do? Say I call you and I'm at a house and something's dead. What do you do? Call the client. We'll just have them call the client. Absolutely. Or if you're, and again, I'm more of a core values thing. And if I think Jessica's going to steal one of my clients and I want to give her the number, then I should fire Jessica. You know what I'm saying? I don't not give the client. So if you have a good culture, you should be able to trust your, you know, like I can't imagine Lindsay going, hey, I know you're in this program, but give me a nickel and I'll do it on the side. Like, that would just be insane. Like I'd have to fire you. That's just a crazy thing. So yeah, I would absolutely give them the number. And I'd also set standards for the customer. Like, hey, we've got to be able to get in if we come and, you know, your garage door's dead and, you know, you haven't given us a backup key. And I would just make it a matter of thing for, I would have keys for all my clients and I'd have two, one that I kind of kept separate that's a backup and one that was available for the group. But either way, your clients have to be responsible for like, no, I won't give you a key. It's like, okay, we have to have access. And if we don't have access, we're still going to charge you and we're going to leave. Like you got to put the responsibility where it belongs. And you being like, well, hold on, Jessica, let me find out the code. And then I call Ellen. Hey, Ellen, what's it like? Enough of that. Like, Jessica, you're an adult woman. Call
Ellen. Yeah, there's so much of that.
Yeah. So you just, okay. That's, and believe it or not, we want to blame the employees. That's a us problem, right? We set up that universe where you have told them and taught them verbally and more likely non-verbally that that's acceptable behavior. When you just go, hey, I'm only going to fix this, whatever, any problems. And by the way, we teach weekly meetings, monthly parties, and quarterly reviews. At the weekly meetings, if they're having any problems, they can ask you. And you'll still return calls once a day. So it's not like you're completely ignoring them, but you are requiring them to be big boys and big girls. And it's like, I can't do that. I need you to hold my hand. I need a security blanket. That's totally good. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to do that for you. Could you imagine if I was a pilot on a plane and I'm like, I need the CEO to, you know, I'm landing and I'm a little nervous. I need the CEO to talk me down. They would just fire me. Like, listen, you can pilot the plane or you can't, but if you need the owner to help you, what are we doing here?
Hey, amazing people. You may have noticed we don't sell a dadgum thing on this podcast. We don't allow ads. The only ask I can ever have of you guys is if you dig the show, for you to spread the word and share so we can change as many lives as possible. Literally, it'll take you 5 seconds to give us a great review, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you as a listener and value the gift of your kind words. Now, back to the show.
All right, so question, why is owning a work car for employees to drive not a good idea? Such a good question. Ask Marie in Next Level. She just got rid of, I think, 2 or 3, and I'm so proud of her. There's the little reason and the big reason. The little reason is it does not pencil financially. Not only have I had a car dealership, which is literally owning a fleet of cars, so I know what it's like to maintain and buy and blah, 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 blah. I also had a construction company where we really did need large 4x4 crew cab trucks with towing capacities and trailers and just a lot of physical equipment. And it sucks. The financials for a car, even if you own it free and clear, easily $500 a month. Because A, it's depreciating every, you know, if you buy it for 10 grand, the likelihood you're going to drive it for 3 years and sell it for 15 is virtually zero, right? Maybe $1 million Bugatti or something, you can pull that off. But, you know, a 2011 Ford Ranger ain't going to happen, or, you know, whatever the heck you're driving. So depreciation happens every month, whether you feel it or not. The gasoline maintenance and employees beat the crap out of it. And then when you go to buy it, you either got to buy new, which is fairly easy. It only takes 2 or 3 hours. You walk out with a new truck, but you overpay, or you buy used, in which case now you're shopping and test driving, and that's a waste of your time. And then God forbid, when you go to sell it, you either got to take it to the dealership and let them write you a check that's smaller, or now you're, it's just, it is not the, you're in the car business now. And it's, I've been in the car business professionally, and it's a crappy business. So that's the financial side. It's just the loser. And God forbid somebody gets in an accident or a transmission goes or what. And then now the transmission goes, not only do you got to spend $3,000 on transmission, what are we gonna do for 2 weeks while I'm getting it done? And who's gonna take it to the transmission? Who's gonna pick it up? And who's gonna get a bid? Who's gonna, like, it's just on and on and on. It's like a part-time freaking job. When I had my car dealership, we only had like 100 cars on the lot. There was still a team of probably 7 people and vendors just to make sure everything was like running like a top. And that's full-time people. We probably spent $500,000 a year just keeping those freaking, it's a pain in the butt. So here's the problem. When you give your employee a car, anyone ever rent a car? You guys wash it, wax it, treat it super nice, change the, no, you drive, you know, what are they, drive it like it's stolen, drive it like it's rented. You drive the wheels off it, you take it back and go deal with it. Not my problem. That's how your employees treat your car. So they beat the snot out of it. Typically they don't give a crap, and there's no capacity. So, and also you got to store it. You put it at their house, they live in an apartment, that's going to get broken into. Or you can put it at your house, which you don't want a bunch of cars out in your front yard, or you have to rent a space that's enclosed. And it's just, there's so many things with keeping and maintaining a car. And perfect examples on planes. If you're old like me, there was a time you got on a plane, you would read a book because that's what was available. And then they got the screens, like, you know, one in every 10 seat, it would fold down and you could, I'll try and look over, but, you know, I could maybe see a small part of the matrix or whatever. And then some of the planes had them right on your back seat. Now, and then now none of it have it because we all have our own phone. Why would the airlines spend money for it? We all bring our own screens right with us. All of your employees bring their own car right with them. Why would you install screens in the back of the seat? They all have their own cars in a garage and they take care of it. When the transmission goes out, they handle it. When they get an accident, they handle it. If it needs registrations or bald tires, or it breaks down on the side of the road, needs a tow, none of that's your problem. When it's your car, it's all your problem. So as opposed to the money, it is a part-time freaking job. And for any of you guys out there preemptively going, well, I see Molly Maids, they all have cars and they look super sexy. Yes, they do. You know who that benefits? Molly Maids, not the franchisor. They're required to have those cars. The franchise or the franchisee gets screwed. The franchisor loves it because the franchisee's got to keep. So not only do they pay 20% or whatever god awful amount Molly Maids charges, they get stuck with $1,000 a month for the car. And the franchise is like, great, but we look good as the franchisor. Is there a bunch of free advertising for people to buy franchises, not cleaning services? I'll give you the last preemptive argument. But I wrapped my car and I get a bunch of calls off of it. Yeah, you know what it costs to run? We just talked $500 if you don't have a payment, $1,000 if you do, plus $3,000 to wrap it, plus the depreciation, you know, all that crap. You know what? Spend $1,000 a month on Facebook. I guarantee you, we will crush everybody calls you think you're getting on the call. So I promise, double pinky swear, it's best. Also, the only last thing would be, my people don't have cars. They are raising their hand going, I am an adult man. I can't handle a car. It's too much pressure. I lost my insurance. I got a bunch of parking tickets. They impounded it. Whatever my story is, my life is full of drama, and I would like to bring that drama into your world, please. So that's a great, and again, the exception would be Manhattan, maybe downtown Chicago, maybe downtown San Francisco, where there are adult professional men and women that do not own cars. If you're not one of those three cities and you've got a guy going, I don't have a car, because and they're always going to say, it wasn't my fault, man. The judge screwed. There's always some dramatic story as to why it's someone else's fault. I don't want any of that problem. So that is my short. It doesn't make sense financially. And definitely doesn't say make sense time-wise. And it attracts the wrong people who are like, I get a free car. Not what we want in a cleaner.
So question on that then. So you prefer it, no less than two people on a team, which I agree, for efficiencies and whatnot. And then safety. So when you have two people and one car, is that the way you do it? You just get them to basically carpool? What if you find that employees don't necessarily want to do that? Because we've actually lost potential hires because they didn't want to drive a work car. They wanted their own car. And so because of that, it actually turned someone off to us. Might not have been a good employee, but we don't know that.
Well, that's the other thing. And this is a big concept for everybody. Don't bend your business to meet an employee, a vendor, an opportunity. So example I always use is ZenMaid. I know Amar, the owner, he's been on my podcast. I like ZenMaid. It's a great piece of software. One of the features that they have is you can do bidding online. Someone come to your thing and you give them a bid and blah, blah, blah. That's a terrible idea for your business. Does that mean ZenMaid's bad software? No, but people get the software like, oh, it's got all these bells and whistles. So I'm going to, and they go down that road and get screwed. Not because ZenMaid's bad. They used it wrong. Or to my friend, Matt, oh, I've got a buddy who's going to get me on a move in, move out. It's like, that is not just because you have a buddy, it's not a good deal. So, or I've got an employee who wants this. So we never bend our, and you didn't, which is fine. But whether cars are good or bad, me losing a potential employee because they don't like my car policy, I'm never going to build my policy off of one dude or even five dudes. Like there might be same with, you know, everyone wants full-time work. Well, we don't offer full-time work. And magically when you set a standard and go, we do 15-hour shifts, 20 at the most. Same thing I was talking about with everyone went in the other room. Oh no, Jessica's here. With Jessica, are there $1 million homeowners that pay $30 an hour for cleaning? Probably. Does that have anything to do with me and my, nope, don't care less. I'm not looking for them. I'm looking for the real ones. So just want to encourage you, just because a cleaner or potential cleaner says they want something, that has nothing to do with the policies you choose to enact over pay, over cars, over driving, over travel. That said, if they're really big into carpooling, I might just pay them both if it's a big deal. Or you can, it's just really up to you. You can be like, hey, we pay one, pick whoever's going to get paid. You guys sort it out. Either you can carpool the guy that is driving, you got to pick up the other guy. And if you want to do that other guy, you can drive, but I'm only paying one. I would probably just pay them both. Cause on the tracker, what we do is everybody pays for a trip, but in the reality, I charge everybody for one trip to get them there. Cause obviously the cleaners do not live at their house. But the reality is if they start and if you're doing residential and they're doing two a day, if they start at the first house from their home and go to their first house, there's no pay for that. And then if they go from the first house to the second, but you're charging them for that. So that first pay can pay the second driver on the second one, if that makes sense. So it still works out okay.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share it with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431, 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.